Good morning and welcome to our new series called This is Hope. We're going to stay in this series for the next few weeks. We are all facing a time in this world that is unusual. This COVID-19 pandemic has many of us worried and concerned, and it brings us ups and downs in life. And some days we're filled with hope, and other days, it feels like our hope is fading. Sometimes hope feels like a roller coaster, doesn't it? Sometimes our life feels like we're on a roller coaster. It's up and down. I hope to get that job, but I only miss out on it. I hope to make the team, but I'm let down again. I hope to get that scholarship, but instead, I receive a letter of rejection. We hope to see our kids avoid the same mistakes other kids make, only to find out that our hearts are broken. We hope to get pregnant, only to miscarry again. We hope to get a good doctor's report, only instead to receive a negative report. There are times when hope seems certain, and there are times when hope seems fleeting, especially in the days that we are facing. With this COVID-19 situation, people are fearful and they're worried and they're scared. And we ask ourselves, does God have an answer for any of these ups and downs? Is God even able to help me through the hard times of life? Well, this morning I want to share a biblical account with you, a story about two disciples, not part of the 12, but two other disciples, really two other followers of Jesus, as they identify with the ups and downs of their world, of their life, and in that time. And so I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 24 today, and we're going to pick up the story, we're going to read it here, and then we'll talk about it, okay? It says, now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. I want you to imagine this scene with me this morning. As we begin to imagine it together, right where you are, sitting at home or watching it at your kitchen table, I want you to just to imagine what's happening here is actually this story, this account, takes place the night of Easter morning. So it's still Easter day. It's the evening. We know it's the evening because these two disciples are traveling home. And they're traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is about an 11-kilometer walk. And it would probably be about a 3-hour journey for them. And these two disciples are leaving Jerusalem, walking home, and they're discussing. They're talking about the different things that had happened in Jerusalem on this momentous weekend. And they're probably trying to understand all that's happened and all that's taken place. And we're not really told what they're talking about, but we could imagine, if you would with me, we could imagine that they're talking about everything from Good Friday, from the crucifixion of Christ, to his burial and to his resurrection. And they're trying to make sense of it all. It's not making any sense to them to understand where he's at. They're asking themselves about Jesus. Was he a failure or a success? Did he have to die? Is our hope? Our hope was in him, but maybe our hope is gone. Maybe it was misplaced. Maybe there's no more hope for this nation of ours. And as we read the account, we're told that suddenly Jesus joins them. Miraculously, they are kept from recognizing who Jesus is. But so this stranger now walks with them. And the Bible tells us about how they're feeling. Notice the words, like in verse 17, it says their faces were downcast. They were down. They were disappointed. They were defeated. They were dismayed. And verse 21 says, quotes them and said, "We had hoped that he was going to be the one who redeemed Israel. We had hoped." Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, reminds us in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. They had hoped. Jesus asked them a question. And he says to them, you know, what is it that's going on? What are you discussing? And they're kind of amazed. How could you be living in this part of the world, in this day, at the end of this weekend, and ask us what's going on in Jerusalem? Like, aren't you aware? And it's actually, if you stop to think about it, it's a humorous situation. Just think about it for a moment. The disciples are trying to understand the why of Easter weekend. And the why of their discussion is suddenly walking with them. And they don't understand it. They don't see it. But what we see is their hope has started to fade. They're downcast, disappointed, dismayed. Their hope is gone. Their hope is fading. Now, we don't know much about these disciples and what they're doing and where they've really been. So we're going to imagine again, but we do know this. They are leaving Jerusalem and they're heading home to Emmaus. We don't know how long they've been in Jerusalem. It's quite possible they've been there all week. It's possible they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which has just ended. It's possible that they were part of the crowd who just the week earlier on Palm Sunday had been part of that magnitude of people, that crowd. Hosanna, Hosanna, praise the Son of David as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. It's possible. Maybe they were shocked to have found out that Jesus was arrested and turned over to the Romans and tried. Maybe they were devastated to find Jesus hanging on a cross and him crucified. And maybe they're totally perplexed that earlier on this morning, the tomb is empty and they're downcast. The hope they had in the one called Jesus is fading. Is it possible there have been times in your life when you were so downcast, so sad, so unhappy, so disappointed that you did not recognize that Jesus was walking with you? Maybe you've lied in your bed at night in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the night, not being able to sleep. Maybe you've looked at the ceiling and you've cried out, "Why, God? Or where are you, God? Or God, don't you care? Or God, can't you show up?" And maybe in those very moments you did not realize that it's God who had been walking with you the whole way along, but you were kept from seeing him and from recognizing him. Maybe at those times of your life you felt like your hope was fading. But our story goes on. It doesn't end with hope faded. It begins to build. And as Jesus is walking with them, as they are walking down the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Jesus begins to explain the scriptures to them. Jesus uses, and we're told here that Jesus starts with Moses. That would be the reference to, you know, our first five books of the Bible. Moses right through the prophets. And Jesus points out what the scriptures say about Messiah. And I wonder, what is it that Jesus told them? Can you imagine having Jesus open up the Word and explain it to us. Can you imagine if Jesus himself were sitting in front of us, talking to us about the Scripture and explaining it to us? Can you imagine how much more the Word would come alive even more than it does now? But where did Jesus start? Maybe he started way back in the beginning. Maybe he started with the very first promise of the Messiah, a promise found in Genesis 3:15, where the Bible records these words, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Then maybe Jesus went on to explain and talk about, remember the story of Abraham and Isaac on the mountain when Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac. And maybe Jesus says, you know, that's a picture of the Messiah who's going to be sacrificed for others. Maybe Jesus would remind them about the Passover that they've just experienced and celebrated. And he draws them back to Egypt and back to the times of Moses and back to the first Passover where Jesus freed them from bondage and slavery. And he reminds them their lamb is sacrificed and the blood is spilled. As Jesus begins to open up the Scriptures and reveal things, maybe he reminded them of all the Levitical sacrifices. That's those animal sacrifices done in the temple and in the tabernacle as the blood is spilled for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe he's reminding them about the Day of Atonement when the sins of a nation could be forgiven, where the priest would enter into the presence of God on that one and only day of the year. Maybe remind them of one of the stories we shared with you during our journey through the Holy Week, and we talked about the serpent lifted on a stick or on a pole, and he says, remember that in the wilderness Moses raised up a serpent for people to be healed, but the Son of Man, the Son of God, be lifted up on a cross to pay the price for people's sin. Maybe he referred to the prophet Isaiah as Isaiah paints the picture of a suffering servant, a picture of the Messiah. We don't really know what Jesus told him. I'm just imagining some of that this morning. But the thing we need to understand is Jesus didn't just teach them stories. He didn't just tell them doctrine. He didn't just rehearse the prophecy with them. The Bible says in verse 27 of our text, he taught them the things concerning himself. And that's something we need to take to heart. That's something we need to remember, that the key to understanding the Bible is that we look for Jesus Christ on every page. Every part of the Bible reveals the promise of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, the hope of Jesus. Our story goes on and tells us they came to the village of Emmaus, and the two followers, the two disciples of Jesus, made their way to go home. And Jesus said he was just going to go a little further. But here's an important point that we can't miss. They said, no, wait. They invited Jesus to stay with them. Come for dinner. It's been a long day. It's been a long journey. They probably didn't know at the time who was with them, but they knew that there was something about the way Jesus had explained the Scriptures, the way Jesus had opened it up, that they just somehow wanted this stranger to stay with them a little bit longer. In the middle of their sadness, in the middle of their disappointment, something about the presence of this stranger encouraged them. You see, because Jesus is the reason for hope renewed. These disciples were disappointed, dejected. The Bible says downcast. But this man renews their hope. Their hope is renewed. When hope is hard to find, you need to remember that Jesus is the one who offers you hope. In the midst of your challenges and your struggles, have you been losing hope in your relationships or in your finances or in your health? Are you struggling at your workplace or maybe even within your family dynamics? Are you maybe even struggling with faith today? Then you need to invite Jesus into your struggles. So Jesus accepts their invitation. He goes to one of their homes and he sits down to dinner with them. And then verse 30 in our chapter, Luke 24, says this. When he, that's Jesus, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Now, I want you to understand something here. When it says he broke it and gave thanks, we're not referring to the communion that we talked about on Good Friday. We're not talking about the Passover where Jesus took the Passover elements and made communion. We're just talking about dinner. It's a common phrase for that time that to break bread with somebody was to have dinner with them. And Jesus had done this many times. We think of his miracles. He fed the 5,000. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. He's done the same thing here at dinner. He's taken the dinner. He's blessed it and broke it. And the Bible tells us when Jesus did this, their eyes were opened. And suddenly they recognized the stranger for who he is. He is really Jesus, the Messiah, come back to life. They even said to themselves, didn't our hearts burn within us as this man, as he explained the scriptures to us? And suddenly we find that their faith is restored. When we least expect it, Jesus appears. See, these disciples were just going through the motions. It was dinner time after a long journey of walking. It's dinner time after trying to understand the events of the last weekend. It's dinner time. They're tired. They're thirsty. They're hungry. And they sit down to dinner and they go through the motions. But as they sit down to what they think is just another ordinary dinner, Jesus shows up and their eyes are opened and their faith is restored and their hope is restored. Sometimes that's what happens in our lives. In the ups and downs of our lives, we need to remember that Jesus is always there for us. We need to remember that Jesus walks through life with us. When we allow Jesus to speak into our lives, when we allow Jesus to break the bread of life with us, our hope is restored. What about you? Are you at a place where you need to invite Jesus to come home with you? Maybe you need to invite Jesus into your home right now. Probably that's where you're watching this. Invite Jesus into your home. Invite him into your life. Where do you need Jesus to speak the truth to you? Where do you need Jesus to allow the scriptures to be made alive to you again? Where do you need Jesus to help your hope to be restored? See, when we're in the middle of our hardships, when life is up and down, when life is a roller coaster, when we think our hope has faded, when we feel like it's a struggle just to take another step, often we're unaware that Jesus is walking beside us. At some point, Jesus reveals his presence and our hope is renewed. Our ability to hope it is directly related to our ability to recognize that Jesus is here. If your life has been a roller coaster, if this situation, this pandemic has you worried and afraid and confused, I want you to know this morning that Jesus is with you. If your hope has faded, then Jesus is able to renew and restore your hope today. I just ask you this morning that maybe you're watching me. Maybe you're listening, maybe you're watching on a tape delay, but it doesn't matter. Maybe as you've been listening, you're saying, I identify with those disciples. I understand life being up and down. I understand hardships. I can't seem to see clear of the situation I'm in today. I need my hope to be restored. I need my hope to be renewed. I want you to know that if you would turn to Jesus, he is the restorer of your hope today. Maybe you're listening to me this morning and saying, Pastor, I want to know more about being a disciple of Jesus. I want to know more about following Jesus. I want you to know you could reach out to us. And we're making it fairly simple for you to do that this morning. If you take your phone and you just text me at our church number, 416-267-1189. If you text just the word love, L-O-V-E, text love to us this morning. We're going to respond to you. It's going to ask you for your name in a way that for us to reach you and contact you. We want to be able to help you. We want to be able to help you find hope restored and hope renewed. We want to be able to help you follow and become a disciple of Jesus. We want to help you as you start this new life of following Jesus. And so we want to reach out to you. So you can do that. And you simply just reach out to us and we'll be in touch with you. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you that you are the giver of hope. We thank you that in the life of Jesus, we have our hope. We thank you that even though we could be walking in a difficult situation, even though we're unsure and unaware of everything that's happening to us right now, that you are the one who walks with us and you are the one who gives us hope. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. Be with us this week. Walk with us wherever we go and whatever we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.